This is study number 13 in our Western camp, American camp meeting in the year 1999. Now let us continue to look at the different factors that support daydreaming. We are really dealing here with a problem that is very deep-rooted and deep-seated, and I would describe it like this. It's like a spell that is laying over the church in order to prevent the latter rain to fall. It's like a spell, like a bewitching power. And this cloud, once it is removed, I believe God can work for his people. So we need to diligently apply this and see wherein it is in our lives. It is not good if we look at our neighbor and see that he does this or that. That does not help us any further. We must see it in our own lives and remove it from there. And this we will do as we go on. Now, as we have said before, it is idol worship, daydreaming, and we must be ready to as verily throw away the idols as did Gideon and his army, as did the people of Israel whenever they were ready to march forward, as did also Jacob and so forth. And I'm looking forward to great victories. You know, the greatest victory is the one gained over self. If somebody can part with his idol, if he can really lay it here on the ground, if it's something physical, and turn it away, that would be a great victory. For example, if a person comes with chains and rings and all kinds of things, and would put, nobody is here, so I think I'm safe to say this in this case, and would put them here on the table and would say, here, I want to get rid of it. That are my idols. That would be a great victory, you know. Not everything we can physically turn over and put away. Maybe we don't have them here with us at the camp. Maybe they are nothing physical in this case. But I really would look forward to very clear victories in this regard. And let us pray for it. There are some things that are not sinful in themselves, and yet they deceive us towards sinfulness. As we have said already yesterday, television is something like this. Of course, the argument could be said, I'm only looking the news and animal of nature films, that's right. That's all I use it for. Well, we have seen that even worldly information use can be a problem. Even animal films are not all without problem, because what is the main subject of animal films, usually? Evolution? Not only. If that was all, that was just the theory. I mean, what is behind evolution? What is evolution? What is behind evolution? Daydreaming, it's the idea that man is like an animal. And what is the main subject when they show pictures of animals? Mating. Mating. In almost any animal film, you will see mating. That is what is mostly... And why is this so? Because everybody wants to say, here, look, that's where we come from. It's strange, but you not all animal films are so like this, I should be fair, but that is very often. So I just want to point out that these things are not necessarily without problems simply because they have the label animal film. It needs to be regarded as something that comes from a certain source with a certain intention and so forth. And the point that I want to make is this, that even though we may say, well, I can use it for something good too, even though it has served me to draw me into daydreaming in the past, I now will change its use. I would say, put it away. Please put it away. At least for the moment until you're free. And then, if you really need it, take it up again. I want to repeat this, what I answered in the question hour yesterday, for the sake of the study tapes here. There is an experience of a young person in Germany who has been at the young people's meeting, and under tears, he bitterly wept, and under tears he confessed that he was going into the world and he wanted to stay with Christ. All the young people, they had made a young people's pledge, covenant, and he wanted to be a part of it. And he wept and wept, and we went to him, and I knew his problems to some extent. So I spoke with him, and it became very obvious that especially computer games was his problem. So I told him, put away your computer altogether. Put it away. But he said, but I can use the computer for good work. I can use it for transcribing the studies and so forth. And I want to use it for this. I said, no, put it away altogether, at least for some time. Well, he did not follow this counsel. After a week, I asked him, is your computer away? No, but I deleted all the games from my hard disk. I said, okay, and where are these games now? Where are the floppy disks? They are all in the cellar. Okay. I said, put them away immediately, and tomorrow I want to hear from you that they are away. He did not phone back. Another week passed, and I had to go somewhere on a journey, and when I came back, I heard that he was totally out in the world again, totally, and unreachable for any spiritual way. He obviously had committed himself again to his old habit. Now, when I say this, I really mean it well. I don't want to hurt anybody, as you know. It's not a special pleasure, but put these idols away, cut them off, if there's such a thing. We had some discussions about the internet lately, because I had counseled with many people. I please don't think that I'm condemning internet as such, but I had counseled with many people for whom internet was a problem. And as I said already, my desire for news has, I have realized also as an idol which I had to cut off. And even though I did not look in any impurity, still I got information that was not really necessary for the soon coming of Christ. I really have decided this does not belong to my preparation for the coming of Christ. And since that time, I had to counsel with many people for whom this medium had become a serious problem. Time, the kind of material, and so forth. I do not want to ask you personally to whom this is a problem, but to many it is, even among believers, professed believers. I need to point this out, and I wondered myself, can we as a church communicate on that platform? And I brought this question to my fellow believers at home, to Joachim and Ralf and the people who work with me together. And we came together to the conclusion, or we asked ourselves the question, would we use a worldly newspaper as a medium of communication with one another? Would we use it as such? No? Why not? Why wouldn't we use a worldly newspaper as a means of communication with one another? Because you can't open a newspaper without seeing something, almost. I mean, you can if you have a reserved page on the newspaper, but then when you get the newspaper, it's all there, and it is a temptation for many. It is. I mean, there are different newspapers, of course. There are some newspapers which are not a problem, others are. And we came to the conclusion that this medium, newspaper, is used by God's people at times to advertise, for example, our hiking and fasting. In other words, to give information to the world that we are doing certain things. That's a way of posting our label and saying, here, we have a convention or something. If you want to come, come. It's like a black board somewhere. But bulletin board, that's right. But it is not used as a means of communication with one another. And this, we thought, would be a little guideline that would help us to determine how we would handle this problem. And maybe later I will deal a little bit more with this question, and then you can understand it even better. But this is one idol, and if somebody has a problem with this, if he sees that his time is consumed instead of in prayer and studying the Bible, in looking into the internet, then my clear counsel is, take away this computer altogether. It's like with an alcoholic, you know. You can't just reduce it to some drops of medicine. You can't do this. You have to put away altogether with it. Even some drops are dangerous. And in this regard, I must say, even though we can use certain things in the world when we have no problem with it, when we have a problem, it's better to put them away, at least for the time being. This is really necessary. And if we do not follow this counsel, we will certainly fall back again. Now, before I go on, I want to make clear that we do not make a savior out of these things. We are not preaching here legalism. We do not lean on these things for deliverance. We lean on Christ. I want to make this point more clearly later. But we can pray and pray and pray as much as we want. Unless we put away the idols from our home, God cannot answer our prayers. He cannot give us a new heart unless we put the idols away. That is really so. Again, we cannot say that putting the idols away gives us a new heart, that putting television away suddenly delivers us from all problems. That is not the case. Don't expect this. But it may be a necessary step as our part in cooperating with God. And I want to point this out more clearly later when we study the relationship between faith and works. And even though we understand something of these, we need to understand more. But I think you see, as we dwell on these subjects now, we dwell on one part of the plan of salvation. We do not dwell on the whole picture. That will be completed a little bit later. So let us continue now to look at these idols. And in our last study, we came to the point late nights. That was the last. In connection with late nights, we could dwell on many things. We have said already that late nights can be a real, or they usually are, a real problem for young people. And why so? Because it is at nighttime that the reasoning powers are not as strong anymore. That means the feelings get more the upper hand. And this is not only so because of the nerves, but the whole chemical structure of the body is different. We really need to understand these laws and these rules. That is the reason why Sister White counsels again and again against the burning of the midnight lamp oil, midnight oil, which she describes the danger of very, very clearly. Again, there may be some people who, by their profession, have to stay up late at night, in which cases they have to be extra careful in the other areas of health in order to make up for that difficulty. Of course, service needs to be done at nighttime too. Sick people have to be looked after and so forth. But an extra care is necessary. So, in connection with the late nights, I want to again point out to the fact that very often the habit of young people to stay together, especially alone, is something that really puts them into a temptation which in the end they cannot bear. They think they can bear it, but they cannot. And in fact, if we become more aim-orientated, that means if we really love Christ's coming and nothing more than this, we will not think so much of boys and girls, even as young people. I've seen young people who really concentrate on their task and have no interest whatsoever in that. And you know, they don't worry about finding a partner. They don't worry about it at all. You know, Jacob was 40 years before he married. Did he worry? Isaac, that's right. Did he worry? He had no worries whatsoever. He waited patiently and he didn't look for girls around. He didn't stay with them alone, especially late at night. That was nothing of his character. And especially when young people are at school and camp meeting is like a school. Very often we do not have problems, but sometimes in some camp meetings, I must say that young people tend to have problems in this regard. And it's very difficult to correct them because they don't want to be corrected. If that is the case, then their heart is not really set on the main aim. We really must see this very clearly. But there's an effort to help them also. I can see very, very clearly that many of our young people are in the world because of this problem. It's one of the great problems of our time, really. And it is because the parents were not successful to direct their minds more clearly on that one aim, which is the soon coming of Christ. I won't read all the statements now. Let's leave it with the late nights. Indolence is another idol that needs to be put away. indolence, what is this? It is simply loving ease again, isn't it? It's loving the easy way and going the smooth way and so forth. Now, one way of looking for the easy way is when we deal with other people. I tend to have difficulties sometimes to speak with people from the world, and then I send somebody else, please, can you go and speak with them? Can you go? But, you know, that's something we should take upon ourselves. Let's do it ourselves. Let's not look for the easy way always, but let's go forward. And when we have to tell something that is unpleasant to another person, we make thousands of apologies. I make it too, before you. Before we speak this unpleasant thing, why do we do this? Because we want to smooth the way for ourselves, not to get too bad a reaction back. Instead of being faithful, as Jesus commanded us to do. Gentle, true, and compassionate, true, but faithful. And I really want to be this. And don't be too satisfied if I'm too soft. That is not what I should be. I should be faithful towards you. And this every minister must be in order to help. So indolence is really something that is a problem of our age very much, because we live in a time of indolence. You must say this. We live in a time of indolence. Our forefathers worked harder. Now, on the other hand, today there is more mind work, it seems. Back there it was more physical work. And that is another danger which we have to look at. There's an imbalance between these two things. So, coming to the next point, bad diet habits. That is a big issue. And you can really say that the cook has the key for many things in his hand. The cook of the family or the cook of an army, he has the key for the success or the defeat of the army. And so it is in the spiritual realm as well. Sister White makes the point very, very clear that there is an interrelationship between the stomach and the mind. Very closely interrelationship. And even of the good things, of course, we can eat too much, but the problem is the altogether diet habits. And these habits are very often such as to clog our mind, make us tired, and so forth. Now, I could prescribe a certain diet to you, and I could be sure that everybody is sleeping here during the study, or almost everybody, unless you just nip from the food. That is so. There are other foods I can say you can eat, and you will be awake. It is absolutely so. And another aspect we need to realize, that not only sleepiness is a problem, but also the whole nervous system becomes weak with certain foods, and as a result, we cannot control our feelings properly. A very obvious example is the spice, which you find in India. When you go to India one time, don't get cross with an Indian, because when he gets cross with you, you're torn in pieces in no time. When you look at their eyes, they are red, really red. And when you see them, you think, well, they can explode any moment. Not all Indians, but very many. And what do they eat? Hot food. It is really hot. So really understand that food has an influence. It doesn't need to be that Indian food, which can do this trouble. The same can be done by too much food. The same can be done by irregular eating and eating between meals. The experiment has been made with hyperactive children just to give them a different diet and give them a regular diet, and suddenly they became calm. This happened more than once. Now, hyperactive children get a lot of pills in order to get calm. But just change the diet and the problem is solved. So easy, very often. And I really need to say that is something that is a factor that supports daydreaming, bad diet habits. Let us see this. And again, let us see that because of this close connection between the digestive organs and the brain, whenever we take down anything into our stomach, except it be water, but anything else, of a sweet nature especially, will make this thing work. And you need to ask yourself the question, shall it work now? Is it necessary that it works? Or shall we rather let it rest? And if you let it constantly work, your nervous system is so stretched that it becomes difficult for the reasoning powers to control your feelings. And eventually the reasoning powers break down. It may not be immediately, but it will be so. And this is even true of little sweet things like candies and chewing gums and so forth. Even these things have an influence on our digestive organ and weaken our nerves so that we cannot control the reasoning powers. It's an idol. And let us really put this away. Now, looking to other things, bad diet habits, drugs, stimulants, tranquilizers. I think we do not need to dwell much with them because we know this very well, and we stay away from these things because we know what problem they make in the human body. For what reason do people take drugs? Why? That's right, to get into a dream world, very simply. And they want to get into a dream world, therefore they take drugs. That's a simple reason. And of course, when man is an evolutionist, he wants to go this way. But if he believes that he is from God, then he will go another way. He will understand that his reasoning powers need to rule over his feelings very clearly. So, coming to the next point, hypnosis. I wrote this down because it is more and more a problem in the world today, even though we all, I guess, know that hypnosis is nothing for God's people whatsoever. But when I was at school, hypnosis was out from psychology. Nowadays, it's coming back tremendously. And you find hypnosis everywhere. Hypnosis seems to work wonderful for people. They can do quite a bit under hypnosis. So that is a very fashionable thing at the present time. Let us understand that this is nothing but putting people into a dream world. And a very evil dream world too, which Satan uses for his advantage, for sure. That is not what God intended man to be. What did God intend? He intended that every organ of the body is made to be subject to the mind. Is this the case in hypnosis? Certainly not. So, you see, it's against God's plan for man, clearly. And read the chapter about hypnosis in Ministry of Healing. Now, when I was at school, hypnosis was not the great point, but autogenic training. And I've not heard lately so much of it, but this could be that this is still a great point. Autogenic training, I find... you know what autogenic training is? No. That is hypnosis too, done to yourself. Autogenic, done to yourself. Self-hypnosis, so I would label it. I mean, they say that hypnosis and autogenic training are different things, but it is, in a sense, the same thing, just done to yourself. And what I find is that nowadays the methods of autogenic training are more and more used for learning and so forth, and for getting probably over pain or whatever. When I was at school, our teacher told us, well, with autogenic training, people have, for example, when they were in a avalanche, and they were in there and were about freezing, and with autogenic training they could so warm up their body that they could survive for a long time until the rescuers came. Maybe so. I would say faith does the same, and better so. So we look on the area of faith and not in the area of self-hypnosis. I won't speak about this much more, just to make you aware that Satan uses these things to his advantage. Now, coming to the next, fashion, that's what we talked about. Is fashion a reason for daydreaming? Have you experienced it? Some have. Fashion is certainly something that can cause daydreams. Maybe not so much with some, with others more. But we really need to see this. Perfume, I wrote down. Perfume, yeah. Perfume, yeah. This can be too. a matter of daydreaming and make people other people daydream. That's what it tends to be sometimes. Not that I want to condemn any drop of perfume. Sometimes bad odors can be neutralized by reasonable perfume, especially if it's of a natural kind. The Bible also uses natural spices and so forth. But the perfumes you have today, of course, they are going way over this and are designed to put people into dream world, as fashion does. I put this together. It's really coming from the same source. Is it urgent now, or do you? That's possible too, yes. It's a certain atmosphere there. Good. Now, one of the worst points of daydreaming is a false religion. That is one of the worst. We understand this, I think, very clearly when we look at fanatics. A very typical example was this Waco thing, where certain people believed in something that was totally wrong. They were in a dream world, weren't they? Totally in a dream world, trapped into something. Now, what prevents us to go into that dream world? What? No, that is what leads us into a dream world, Brian. It does not prevent. I ask the question, what does prevent us to go into a dream world? The truth? Well, they say they have the truth too. Well, they say they follow the will of God. They say they follow the true will of God. True religion is a wake-up call. Well, they are woken up. They are very aware. Okay. Yes. The Word of God, I would say so. The Bible. If we really make the Bible our standard and make it again and again our standard. Now, I want to really stress this. We must be like the noble Bereans. Everything we study must be diligently restudied. And there will be tests of it over and over again, of these messages. They are not unreasonable messages. They are not just some fancy ideas, but they are built on the Word of God. I want to read two Bible texts with you that make this point very clear. I hope I find them now. It's in Timothy 1. Where was it again? 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? Oh, if my computer, so I can find it out. Where did we have this text? They were really very good texts, but I can't remember now where they were. Fables was the word, yes. I was looking for the right word. So, 1 Timothy chapter 1. That is one text, and the other text we come to later. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach not other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which ministers questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now, what are these fables that Paul is here talking of? That are religious daydreams. Give not heed to fables and endless genealogies. That's the word that the Bible uses for daydreaming. Fables. It's like fairy tales, isn't it? It's unreal things just made up in the mind. Things that are not built on the word. Yes, endless geologies. I think it has something to do with certain teachings they brought forth back then, against which Paul is talking. There were certain teachings based on genealogies. Yes? Yeah, I don't know. That's possible. Something like this it was. Okay, you want to say that? Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, let's go on now. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I think that was more the one that we read. Verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. So we have two things here in opposition. On the one hand, lusts. On the other hand, truth. Fables and the truth. So the lusts is nothing but the ruling of feelings. And we must make sure that our religion is not a religion that is based on feelings, but on the sound word of God, on reasonable things that are reasonable because everybody can pursue them. Anybody can really see from the word of God, yes, this is so. And again, you are encouraged to look into the word of God for yourself and use your reasoning powers to see whether these things are so. Use them. Never you were told to say, now put your reasoning powers aside. We have gospel order. Put your reasoning powers away and just follow a leader. Never this was said. Others made it so who hated this message, but that was never the message. The message always was, use your reasoning powers. And we are willing to be corrected if we are wrong. So the message really is based on the Word of God, and the Word of God can requires our reasoning powers. That really is very, very important. Let's read another statement. Titus 1 verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. But there was another text though. Yes, that is the one. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's begin in verse 15. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What does Peter here say? We have not followed cunningly devised fables. Why not? Because we have been eyewitnesses to his majesty. In other words, we could use our reasoning powers to understand and see what was going on. We have not just followed some feelings or some fancy ideas in our minds, but we have seen it and touched it and experienced it. That is something that can really be very clear. I think that's it. That was the last. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Good. Maybe there was another text still, but this is the main text. And I think you'll see very clearly how false religion can really be a daydreaming. And to cut themselves off from a false religion can be very difficult. I've seen people having been involved in false religions, that can be a long work until they are cut off from this. The disciples are a very good example because they really also had a dream world as far as the kingdom of God was concerned. They were really following devising fables in this respect, until they woke up, and then they saw clearly what the kingdom of God is. Now, I do not claim that this list is complete of idols, so please investigate and see if there is an idol in your life. And if we will begin to keep book not only of our money, which we really should do, but also of our time, then we will see more clearly where these idols are in our life. And I really want to encourage everyone to do this in order to put them away. Some things are obvious immediately. Some things may not be obvious, but as you ask the Holy Spirit to search you, you will see these things and cast them out with his help, with his strength. So I want to leave this list. The question is often asked at this point, now you told us the problem, please show us the solution. The solution is partly known by you. I want to quickly show you this diagram over which we want to go in more detail later, which just shows some practical steps how to break the vicious circle of sentimentalism. Now, my apology for showing the problem so detailed is this, that you need to see the problem before you see the solution. If I don't acknowledge the problem, I'm not looking for a solution to it. So the first step is really acknowledging the problem. That is the reason why we deal so extensively with the problem of sentimentalism. It's not that we want just to condemn and show all the difficulties. No, we need to face the facts first. And this acknowledgement is first of all a personal acknowledgement, but it could be also a public acknowledgement. Upon this, I will come back a little bit later. The first step, of course, after I acknowledge the problem is, I must seek God's help. God's help. That requires the prayer of faith, about which we have studied in the past. And it requires, in the prayer of faith, the laying hold of, in faith, on the promises. So I need to understand the promises and need to lay hold on them in faith. Now, very often, people are so weak that they cannot help themselves anymore. I'm using an example. If a person is a real alcoholic, then he is often so weak he cannot help himself anymore. And what does Sister White say? These people need a helping hand. They need a helping hand. And many people need a helping hand. They would go to God alone, and they do go to God alone, fine, but their hold is so weak, and they don't know how to exercise faith that they need a helping hand. Now, sometimes people go to others before they go to God, and they expect from others to help them without doing their own homework, so to speak. Now, that doesn't work, obviously. You can do much for a person. If he doesn't do anything himself, there's no help. But there are others who refuse to accept any helping hand, and that is because they are too proud still, or too self-confident, or whatever. And that's a problem also. Let me read now to you some statements in the chapter Helping the Tempted in Ministry of Healing. Now the time is over. So in our next study, we want to read about this. And then we will see more clearly in what way we really also need a helping hand. And this is what Adam and Eve needed in the beginning, very much. Let us take a short break now. Can we make it till 5 minutes to 11?